Since the 1960s, scientists at the UW have been involved with studying how plants would grow in space. After all, if we're thinking about traveling big distances through space, maybe to a place like Mars, we're going to probably need to grow some of our own food. Simon Gilroy is here in the studio. He's a professor of botany at the UW-Madison. He's been leading a research team at the UW to study the effects of growing plants in a zero-gravity environment. Simon, thanks a lot for joining us in the studio.
Well, good to be here, Rob.
Well, can you tell us some of the history of UW's involvement in space botany?
It's crazy to think that we have been a center for growing plants and working out how to grow plants in space basically since the space program began. So there's been some very successful programs working with things like potatoes and stuff like that. One of the flagships has been Fast Plants, which is a program to get very rapidly cycling plants that you can do experiments with very quickly. And the really cool thing about that is not only is that for experiments for researchers in labs, but those plants are distributed to everyone. So you can do your own experiments, sort of mimicking and trying to work out what's going on in that weird, weird environment that we work in space.
Now, I'm a poor gardener. I have trouble growing plants here on Earth. I understand zero gravity in particular makes some really unique challenges for things we take for granted, like water and oxygen.
Yeah, yep. So there's a lot of stuff that we just take for granted because gravity is everywhere all the time. So imagine that you're on Earth and you want to water a plant in a pot. You take your watering can, you tip it on its side, the water comes out.
Thanks, hey, gravity.
Presto. Thanks, gravity, yeah. And so in space, none of that works. And so it becomes very complicated to think, how on earth am I going to water my plant? I can't use a watering can. So you have to start doing things like injecting liquid into soil, but then soil doesn't really work, and so you have to manipulate the soil. Things like the shape of a flame is, you don't think about this, but is actually shaped by gravity. When you light a candle, the shape of the flame that comes out of that long tapering shape, that's driven by gravity moving air around, and that convection mixes up air all the time. That doesn't occur in space, so you get all these dead zones where big gas gradients build up, and things that biology just naturally works with on Earth just stop working.
And reading about your work, and this is a big part of, I understand what you're working on now, if I have this right, water clumps differently. It can actually work in a way that it blocks the gases plants need from getting in?
Yeah. So, again, this the crazy world of no gravity. So if you imagine you have water on Earth and you take your watering can and pour it onto the soil, the water is going to percolate down through the soil. That's totally driven by gravity. So you take that away. What drives the movement of water? And water, think of your pictures in your mind of what water does on Earth. They're all streams flowing and oceans moving backwards and forwards and waterfalls. That's all driven by gravity. So those forces that move water, they're not there in space. So water becomes super sticky. So its movements are driven by things like capillary forces and surface tension, like the molecular components of what make water move on Earth. Uh-huh. If you remove gravity, they become really important. So we've probably all seen those movies in the astronauts where they have a ball of water floating in space, and it's held together by the water sticking to itself because gravity isn't pulling it down and pulling it apart. So imagine now that you have this sticky water and you water a plant. It sticks to the surface of the plant. And then you have a barrier. That is what happens next to the Mississippi in the spring when a farmer has planted his field, the corn is coming up, the seedlings are there, and then it floods. And the reason that corn's going to die is because it doesn't have access to oxygen, and the roots will suffocate just like a human would suffocate underwater.
Now, talk about the experiments you're doing to try to figure out, okay, how do we overcome this water barrier?
So we've been really, really fortunate. We've had the possibility to put a couple of experiments up onto the space station. In fact, our last one splashed down on January the 13th. So we've just got those samples coming in. So that is super exciting for everyone in the lab. And so we know what we think the problem is, which is that the water has become sticky and it's making this barrier. But that's kind of a natural thing that occurs on Earth during flooding. And so plants, they don't die instantaneously when if you overwater your pot plant, it doesn't die within 2 minutes because plants have got a capacity to kind of deal with it. Eventually, they're going to croak, but they're going to keep going. And what they do is they sort of reprogram themselves to be able to just, can I just get past this period of time when I'm flooded and then I'll grow on and be fine. So they have machinery, molecular machinery inside them to be able to deal with that. So what we do in the lab is we look at what that molecular machinery might be, and then we tweak it, tinker it with it, to try and make plants that on Earth resist flooding a little bit better. So that has some applications to like farming and stuff like that. But one of the big goals then is if flooding in space is a big deal, those plants should grow better in space. And so those engineered plants are the ones we put into space to see what happens.
Simon Gilroy is with us. He's professor of botany at UW-Madison, and he works on trying to get plants grow in space on the International Space Station. So you're sending up seeds with the astronauts. What kind of plant are we talking about here?
So we use, it's like the lab rat of plant biology. It's a plant called Arabidopsis. It's a weedy little plant, and it was chosen a good few years, maybe 20 years ago, by plant biologists with the idea that if a lot of people work on the same plant, and we really understand this plant fantastically well, that knowledge could be moved on to other plants. So this little weedy plant, Arabidopsis, was the model because it grows super fast. It's really small, which for spaceflight becomes a really big deal. And it was one of the first organisms where all of the DNA within the organism was sequenced. So we know every gene which is inside it. So, and that's a huge tool set to work with to do all of this engineering.
And I understand you've worked with astronauts to train them on, I mean, because if I'm trained to be an astronaut, which I'm not, I'm probably not also a botanist or even maybe an expert space gardener. You've done training with them.
Yep. So we get to go down to Johnson Space Center, and we get to sit down with the astronauts and go through what we think are the technical, like fiddly little bits of our protocols. Those guys are absolutely like remarkable, not just because they're quite prepared to sit on top of like the biggest rocket that you've ever seen, but they are really able to pick up ideas and remember things, because you can imagine we're not the only experiment which is up there. Mm-hmm. We get to train the astronauts. The astronaut who did our experiment, Scott Tingle, absolutely remarkable guy. But super nice as well. So it's just like a normal guy. It's just he turns out to be an astronaut. And he does hundreds of experiments and kind of remembers them all. I just, you know, I can't remember where my keys are. And yet we train him 6 months ahead of time and he remembers everything. It's just unbelievable.
So you said the package was up there. You sent seeds up, I guess. And now plants have come back down. Are you still waiting to get your hands on this batch?
Yep. So what happens is one of the researchers in the lab will fly down to Kennedy Space Center. We'll check everything out and make certain that those samples are good. We kind of know they are because we get video back down from the space stations. They're growing. So we'll get those samples. Then those are kind of precious. We don't want to lose them. So they will be sent up here in a thing called a custom critical truck. So they'll come up, and then probably in about maybe a week or two's time, we'll have the samples. And then we spend a year and a half trying to tease apart molecularly what happened in them.
And this has got to be like Christmas and birthday and New Year's Day all rolled into one for you when you get that supply.
Absolutely. The way to think about it is this is the culmination of 3.5 years worth of planning and work to get one experiment. And as a researcher in a lab normally, you kind of know you get a do-over. Like if something goes wrong, you can always do the experiment again. But we never get to do these experiments again. So this is sort of high-stakes stuff, and we get them back. And, it's pretty awesome.
So you take this weedy little plant, and hopefully you get this batch, and you learn things about what works for growing plants in zero gravity. Do you start to be able then to apply that to stuff we're going to want to eat?
Yep. So the long-term goal is a practical one, which is space is a very, very strange place to put biology. Mm-hmm. Like biology exists on the surface of the planet, of 1G, the Earth, all the things we know that the Earth is good at doing. So plants haven't adapted to that environment. And so we've had 10,000 years of agriculture and we've had 50 years of growing things in space. So we're trying to really, really speed up that whole process, take that knowledge and then turn it into practical application for spaceflight.
Do you have suspects in mind of plants we might be familiar with that you think, okay, this might be a good candidate when we're trying to get some foodstuffs in orbit?
Oh, absolutely. So we interact a lot with the as you might expect, with the people who are doing the food production for astronauts. Lettuce, spinach, radishes. If you can think of a plant that you would grow as a gardener and it grows quickly and you eat most of the plant, so you don't throw away a lot of the plant, then those are the target crops which we're going for.
And there have been some, I think, greens experience, lettuce experiments in space, right?
Oh, yep, yep. There's a thing called the veggie, which you grow is big enough to grow proper plants, you know, plants big enough to eat. The astronauts grew lettuce to the size that they could harvest it. Half of it went to science, and half of it they ate, and it looked like they were drinking champagne. They were holding it up like because fresh food in space is a big, big deal.
Now, you're working on this here on Earth. Would you ever, given the opportunity, want to be up there working on your plants?
Oh, yeah, like in a second. Oh, yeah. Are you crazy? Of course. But we know enough about it. We wouldn't want to stay there. Space is a hard place for biology, and this is the challenge for NASA, that human biology is the biology of the surface of the Earth with 1G, and all of these studies are trying to work out how to keep people healthy for a long period in space, because space is a hard place to live in. So a few days.
So you've got this package coming. You're going to be doing lots of experiments. What are the next steps after you get a hold of this?
So we will extract the DNA from these plants and use a technique which lets us to measure the level of every single gene which is in that plant. So you imagine some have gone up in space, some of them have gone down in space, and we have exactly identical plants that we grew on the Earth. And we're going to do a pattern matching. We'll look for patterns of genes going up, patterns of genes going down. We're talking about 30,000 genes per plant. So This is a big pattern that we're going to start playing with.
Sounds great. Simon, thanks so much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
No, it's been great fun.
That's Simon Gilroy, professor of botany at UW-Madison. We've been talking about his research going on at UW on growing plants in space.